Welcome to Running on Carbs podcast. I'm Coach Val, a wife, empty nester mom, and executive level professional. I picked up running later in life as a way to burn off excess energy after moving to a plant-based diet in 2017, running my first marathon at age 47 and entirely fueled by plants. Now, I help other driven women to achieve their own running goals while starting or refining their plant-based way of eating. We all have busy lives, so this podcast is here to break it all down in easy, everyday, stress-free language that delivers the practical tips you need to power your runs and inspire your mind. Whether you love the discipline of training for races or simply running for fitness, you'll find everything you need to run your best life on carbs right here. So in keeping with my promise of efficiency, let's get started. Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Running on Carbs podcast. I am your host, Coach Val, and today I am going to talk a little bit about mindset, and not just, you know, mindset in general, but an action-oriented mindset. And you might be wondering why I'm not talking about running specifically or a nutrition-related topic specifically. I mean, because after all, we're on episode number 2. But this is foundational. And the reason why I chose to talk about action-oriented mindset on episode 2 is that without having a proper mindset, and you'll see what I'll go into in a few minutes or in a couple minutes, without that foundation, the rest of it won't matter. I can talk to you till I'm blue in the face about heart rate variabilities and, you know, running on you're by your RPE. I could talk about making sure you get greens. I can talk about nutritional balance, but none of that's going to matter to you if you haven't already made a decision to move forward and you haven't already made a decision of what it is you want to accomplish and what you want to do. So today I'm going to talk about making that decision, what that decision process really looks like in real life, and how you can make that decision and at what point you know that you have done that and that you're ready to move forward, making real change in your life so that it sticks and that you're not just jumping on the bandwagon for a month or two or until that race is over, and then, you know, you're back sitting on the couch for the next 6 months. So what it really takes to make a decision and make it a lifestyle choice. So let us jump into that right now. So there's 4 keys to an action-oriented mindset. And mind you, these are things that I've gleaned and that I've seen from both scientific studies and standard practices that are out there. But these are the real keys that I've noticed that are key to making or having an action-oriented mindset. So the first thing that you need is a determination to move forward. You actually have to have a goal. So what is it that you want to accomplish? And after that, and I'll go into these in more detail in the rest of the podcast, but I'm just going to name them off real quick. So that's number one, is determining to move forward and having a goal. The second thing is you need to move away from thinking and contemplation. You need to make a decision. So you have to decide that you're going to accomplish this goal. After that, you need to take messy action. This is a term that I've become very familiar with lately, is messy action. So take messy action toward that goal, which means that you're taking consistent steps every day toward your goal. And fourth, staying persistent in the pursuit of the goal and sticking with the plan, but pivoting when it's necessary. You have to stay flexible because life is not linear and you won't be able to just accomplish your goal without any setbacks or any sidesteps. You need to be able to stick with the plan as it makes sense in your life, pivot when necessary, but never lose track of that goal. So let's jump in a little deeper. So what decision are you making? What's your goal? goal and decision kind of seem to be tandem, but they're really not, because you can't make a decision on something if you don't know what you're deciding on. So you really have to have the goal first, and then you have to decide that you're going to go after it and it is going to be something that you are going to pursue. A decision is really a commitment to yourself. You can't decide based on something that someone else tells you you should do. It's something that you must decide and commit to for yourself. And it has to be tied to an emotion. It's not a logical process. Decision making comes from the body. It is not a mind decision. So if you are going to make a decision to do something, so I'll give you an example in my own life. I had decided to run a half marathon, and this is my first half marathon that I decided to run. And up until that point, the longest run that I had had was 6 miles, and that was kind of like hard. So making a decision to run 13.1 miles in a race was quite a big decision. And this is where I go back to the goal and the decision sometimes seem like they happen in tandem. So when I found the half marathon, it was really by chance. I wasn't looking for a half marathon. Nobody had said to me, hey, you should run a half marathon. I just happened to be scrolling through Facebook and I found a local half marathon that was it's a big race. So I did the Rock and Roll Half Marathon in San Diego, and it just popped up in my Facebook feed. And I thought, that sounds kind of interesting. I wonder if I could do it. So I decided, I think I can do it, but I wasn't really certain. But what made me certain was when I clicked the sign up button. So I clicked the sign up button and I paid for it and said, there we go, I'm making this decision. And when I did, I was very excited. It was not like an excited, like happy, excited. It was a determined feeling. It was okay, I'm doing this now. There is no going back. This is what I'm doing. And it was a full body experience when that decision happened. And that's how you know you're committed. You feel it. It is not just in your mind. Oh, let's see, I ran 6 miles, so I could probably build up over 4 months. I can build up a little bit here and there. If I train each week and run 4 days a week, it's not logical. I mean, all that stuff comes later. But at that moment that you're making a decision, it's in your body that you are deciding. You have to really tune in to know, what is your body saying to you? Is it saying, no, I don't like this, I don't want to? In which case, you're probably going to scroll past that ad. But for me, it triggered something and it made me want to move forward and think more about it. I contemplated, but then I made a decision. So as I was just saying, decisions come from the body, not the mind. So the mind assists in the organizing, the strategy, but the body makes that decision. The mind can actually get in the way, which is why you have to continue to take that messy action. So as you get closer to success, that negative mind chatter just gets louder and louder. And it really means that you're on the right track. So when your mind starts telling you, what are you doing? You can't do this. You've never run more than 6 miles in your life. That's that negative mind chatter that isn't the body. That's not real. That's just your protection mechanism. So kind of like when you're on a long run and you start to feel fatigue and your mind starts chattering at you and saying, you know, you can turn around at the next light and cut back across the park and you'll be back in, you know, at your car in less time than if you went the full length and then backtracked, or, you know, or now you won't have to do the whole loop. I don't know. It just starts giving you excuses. And that's your mind trying to protect you, but it doesn't know any better. It just wants status quo. It doesn't want you to grow, because growing is scary to your mind. Your mind wants homeostasis and your body wants homeostasis. But Your body knows when the decision is right. So you have to listen to your body, not your mind, when you're making a decision. And the way that you help your mind to get past that chatter is using action. So you use action to cure fear and build confidence. So if you're going to do a half marathon and you're a little afraid of it, you're not quite sure. I remember 7 miles for me was kind of a real milestone, like 7 miles. It was hard to get past that 7 mile mark and start to feel good after 7 miles. It took me a while. That was sort of a turning point for me as far as distance was concerned when I was first starting out running. But what I did is I just kept doing it. You know, not every week, but, you know, I would run and I would build up to that 7. I'd go 7 1/4. Okay. Yeah. You know, I build that confidence. Yeah. I did 7 1/4. Great. I'm good today. And I didn't die and I'm okay. So that goes for anything that you do. You're using action to cure that fear and build that confidence muscle. And this goes for your nutrition as well. So the more you eat, on track each day and make good choices, and you go to the grocery store and you're ordering just the food or buying just the food that you're going to eat that week, and they're all healthy plant-based meals, and you're not, you know, building in other stuff, and you're not picking up the cookies along the way, that's building confidence that you can do it and you could make this a lifestyle. I want to tell a little story about my 20s. In my 20s, I used to suffer from migraines really, really bad. And I had migraines almost every day. They were horrible. And I went to the doctor, they did MRIs, they did all sorts of stuff to see what was causing them. And there wasn't really any physiological thing that they could find as a reason for my migraines. And I remember being at work one day, sitting like in a closet, I think it was a dark little closet thing, hiding from my coworkers because I had another migraine. And I was crying and thinking, this is awful. I can't live this way. I can't function. And I remember this moment vividly because it was a turning point for me. I just got tired. I just got frustrated. And I said, you know what? I said to myself, obviously, I'm done with this. I don't want to live this way anymore. I am done with this. I am going to live as if I do not have headaches anymore. I am just going to live my life and I am over this. I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I made a decision at that moment, and it was a full body decision that I felt from head to toe, I'm done. I'm not having these migraines anymore. I'm over it. And it was an amazing thing because you think migraines are very physical, right? You have a headache, it hurts, you have nausea. But from that moment on, my migraines started to go away. They were less, they were less intense. I didn't have them every day. They didn't go away overnight, but I acted as if I wasn't a person with migraines. And they went away. The last migraine I had was on my son's 4th birthday. And up until then, I had not had a migraine in probably close to 4 or 5 years. I don't remember the exact timeline, but it just came out of the blue on his birthday. I went to the chiropractor. She got rid of it, thank goodness. And that's the last migraine I had. So it was a full body decision, though. And I'm not saying that everybody is going to have this experience, but it is possible. And it just shows the power of the mind and the body connection. So I wanted to share that story with you. So once you've made this full body connection and decision, you still have to have a strategy and a plan. If you want to be successful, you can't just wing it because there's going to be those, like I said, roadblocks, sidesteps. You got to know what you're going to do when those things happen. So this is where you might want to bring in your support system if you have one. If you don't have one, then you can bring in a coach or a mentor. You can join a group and build an accountability group. So there's a lot of different ways that you can build in that support team. Don't think that you have to go this alone. And support looks different for everybody. And it's okay to shift and pivot as long as you're moving forward and continuing to take action every day towards your goal. In real life, my real life example would be my first marathon. So I had developed a plan. I was going to run my first marathon in Huntington Beach. I knew where I was running. I knew what I was running. And so I put together my plan for the marathon. I wrrote out how many runs I was going to do. I wrote out my strength training plan that was going to support me in that, mobility for injury prevention. I planned out my fueling, although that was flexible because that kind of depended on, what run I was doing that day. I did not implement my full fueling plan right off the bat. I built into it so that I could train my gut to handle the amount of fuel that was necessary. So that was something that I planned out over time and tested, and I'm looking forward to being able to share and talk more about that in later podcasts too. But I had a plan, and it didn't mean it was perfect, but I had one and I followed it almost religiously. I think I was like 99.5% by the time I was done when I calculated it. So not too bad. But some days, I moved runs around. I had to, restructure things sometimes. But that's part of it. But you have to be relentlessly persistent in maintaining your decision. Again, distraction comes in many, many forms. It can be internal distractions, external, situational. So an internal distraction would be that mind chatter. That's you distracting yourself. Oh my God, it's raining. I don't want to go for my run today. Or I didn't get enough sleep. And so, maybe I'll just run this afternoon when you normally run in the morning, and then you don't because your day gets in the way. External would be holidays. That was my big one. Holidays would get in the way, or work hours get in the way. Kids they have activities, or they don't sleep, so you don't sleep. There's all sorts of external reasons that can get in the way of your goal. And then situational kind of crosses over a little bit into external, but situational can be, any of those things where you had something else to do. Say you have a meeting and you have to drive to the meeting really far. And so you just simply, you have to get up really early, you drive to your meeting, you're there all day, you have to drive home, and you're, out of the house for 15 hours that day. And you just don't have the energy or the time. So sometimes things get in the way and it's just situational. I love this quote here. The best laid plans of mice and men often go awry. And we've all heard this this one, although it's usually shortened to just say the best laid plans of mice and men. Robert Burns is attributed to that quote from 1785. But don't let it stop you. What that quote is meant to say is just that you lay down a plan, you have a plan, and then something gets in the way of it. You got to pivot. You got to know things are going to get in the way and be prepared. But again, it's not something that should completely derail you and stop you, because remember, you've made that full body decision. And if you've made that full body decision, it should still be there. But you've got to work to maintain it too. So protect yourself from your mind. It doesn't hurt to have a mantra to distract your mind from excuses and logical arguments, because logic is not the answer. that maybe don't serve your decision. So remember that the mind chatter gets loudest when you are on the right track. So when you are going along great, so you've got your training plan and you're doing all your runs, but your mind starts working in the middle of one or two of these runs. And it's like, well, I know you've got 6 miles on your plan today, but you know, you can get away with 5. You're really busy today. And you've got, you know, that meeting. You want to make sure you got enough time for breakfast and all these excuses as you're running your miles. And so you cut that one short. So it's supposed to be 6, you did 5. Then the next day you've got maybe a 4-miler on the plan. So you go out and you're like, I don't really need to do whole 4 miles. It's only 4 miles. I could just cut it to 3. Nobody would care. I'm sure my body wouldn't mind. And it's not because you're tired and it's not because you're hurt. It's just because your mind is like, yeah, you don't really need to do it. So your mind chatter is just sort of getting in the way. Be prepared for that. Those things happen. So you have to be prepared to deal with that. I find this a lot with nutrition. I'd say more so with nutrition than I do with running training plans. But with nutrition, boy, that mind chatter can get loud. It's only one bite, or it's only one meal, or, I already messed up today and ate out, so I might as well just eat the whole chocolate cake too. Those things get in the way. That's your mind. That's the part that can derail you entirely. And those are the areas that you really need to have your mantra available and ready. My mantra that I use when I have temptation when it comes to food is, that's not food. So if there's something in front of me that is at all tempting or looks good, or that other people are eating and maybe I don't have my snack with me or something, I don't give in to temptation because I tell myself that's not food. If it's not plant-based 100%, that's not food and I don't eat it. That's not the way I eat. That's not food to me. It's food to them. It's edible to them, you know, to others, but to me, it's not food. So it's edible, but it's not food. So that's my mantra. It works extremely well for me, but you have to find what works truly well for you and what you believe. Because for me, I believe that's entirely to my soul. That's how I feel. It's not for other people, but it is for me. So a real life example I wanted to share about being relentlessly persistent in maintaining your decision is when I was training for that marathon. So the marathon that I ran when I was 47 years old was in February, early February, which means when you start counting backward 18 weeks, I was doing some of my longest runs and some of my heaviest training during Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. I don't know why did they plan that way? I mean, everybody who ran that marathon with any sort of, you know, ambition was doing the same thing I was, which means running long runs on Christmas Eve for New Year's Eve, I was running a 20 miler. So New Year's Eve, I was out on the road running 20 miles. Thanksgiving morning, I was doing 7 miles on Thanksgiving morning. So what I did is I got up really early. I did my run. I came back to the house and then I just started preparing all the food. And in my household, not everybody is plant-based. So for holidays, I prepare 2 full meals, one that is not vegan and one that is. I also have a number of family members who are gluten-free, so I make sure all of the vegan options are also gluten-free so that everybody has something. So it's a lot of work. I do a lot of prep work up before Thanksgiving. And then, you know, the day of, you have to pull it all together and somehow fit it all into one normal size oven. So it's a lot of work, but I got my 7 miles in, so I was nice and calm. And then on Christmas Eve, I ran 13 miles on my plan. So it was a heck of a lot to do during the holidays. And that was just those couple of days. You have to remember that I was running, I think I was running 4 days a week during my marathon plan. And then I was cross training and doing other stuff on other days. But that was a lot. Sometimes I would wake up late. So I'd move the run to later in the day. I try not to do that too often because I'm one of those that gets distracted and then I don't do it later in the day. So I really, really try not to do that. But sometimes I missed my strength training workouts. I hate to say that, and I hope that my clients will prioritize them as much as possible. but, you know, some days I didn't have a choice, and some days you won't either. So you pivot. You make do. You make sure you get your runs in. You make sure you get as much strength training as you can in. If you can't do a full one, then you condense it and do something shorter, but you try to get something in. Sometimes I was tired, so I would just take an unscheduled rest day. You have to listen to your body when you're in that environment too. But none of those things took me off course. I finished my marathon. And I didn't have a time goal because it was my very first marathon, but I was really happy with my time. And by the end of it, I felt darn good considering I had just run a marathon. So I was pretty happy with it. And those are the things that you have to keep in mind as you are relentlessly persistent in maintaining your decision. So in summary, I'm just going to summarize it all up, and then we're going to get moving on, and then you'll have all the information that you need to make a decision. So in summary, you're going to have a goal. You are going to make a decision with your body. You're going to take messy action, and you're going to stick with your plan, but you're going to pivot when necessary. So what I wanted to just share real quick before we close out is please reach out to me on social media. So if you don't have that support system, let me be your support system. I'd love to hear from you, to hear how you're making decisions and, you know, what you might be struggling with and what is working for you, because what works for you might work for someone else. So I love to be able to hear what you do when you make a decision. And also I'd love to hear, how do you feel it in your body? Everyone feels it in their body differently. And I would love to hear when you make a decision and you know it's right and you are taking it in and owning it, what does that feel like to you? Share with me. Go to Instagram, Facebook, and or YouTube if you're watching this on YouTube, and let me know. I'd also like to invite you to join the waitlist for my next group coaching program. I don't have a date for it yet, so if that's interesting to you and you might want to join a group coaching program rather than a one-to-one, and build that community that we've talked about and support group with others, go ahead and sign up. I'll put the link in the show notes here, and join the wait list. And when I have a date for that and more details, then I'll notify everybody by email. And if group coaching isn't necessarily your thing, you're welcome to inquire about working with me one-on-one. Again, just drop me an email. Happy to get back with you and talk about it then. In the meantime, go and set your goal, make your full body decision, stick to it relentlessly, and let me know how it's going. But until next week, run your best life on carbs.